We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
I want to read a text today. I'm preaching from a text that is very unfamiliar. You will probably be surprised it's in the Bible, but we're going to do it today. I think there's a message for us today. Leviticus chapter 8. I'm reading from verse 22. Leviticus chapter 8 from verse 22. The Bible reads, "Then he presented the other ram, the ram of ordination, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. And he killed it, and Moses took some of his blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, and the thumb of his right hand on the big toe of the right foot." I think I left something. "On the lobes of the right ear, and on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toe of the right foot." Yeah, okay. "Then he presented Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on the..." That's what I've read, Jaden. Right? We're on the next verse. Verse 30. "Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and of the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and his garments and also on his sons and the sons' garments." Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for what you are already doing in our lives as we were hearing and singing about what you can do in our lives, how great you are. Lord, we pray that you will manifest yourself to different ones this morning, different situations happening in this hall. How we pray, Lord, that you may have your way. Change situations, transform lives, heal those that need healing, even today. Lord, I pray that you may heal that hand that is in pain today. As I pray, that hand be healed in the name of Jesus. Any headache that's happening right now as I pray, I command you lift in the name of Jesus. No more in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about the ear, the thumb, and the big toe. The ear, if you have an ear, you can touch it. The thumb, you can touch it. The big toe, if you can reach it. I thought this sounds... Does God care about these three things? It looks like he does from the text we just read. This text is about the ordination of the priests. And so there was a process by which they had to do this. And one of the things that they did, besides the sacrifices and everything else, was this particular second ram that was killed. It was a ram for consecration. Moses was ordered by God to kill it and then to take blood from it and anoint, or rather just touch the tip of the ear, of the right, it's got to be the right ear, and then move on, do that same to the right thumb and then to the big toe on the right. And then he says, stay in the tabernacle for 7 days. Then he also applied, if you notice, he also applied oil on them. Oil came after the blood. And then after 7 days, they were ready to serve God. So that is the process. It's very weird for us reading it today because we're thinking, what's this all about? How does this apply to our lives? This is what we want to look at. We want to look at, obviously, Aaron was a priest. And his sons were being ushered into the priesthood. And part of being brought into the priesthood is this. So every believer, I think we've been on and on about this, that every believer is a priest according to Scripture. Peter tells us that you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a treasured possession of the people of God so that you may offer sacrifices unto the Lord. So we are a priesthood of God. So what was done to Aaron applies to us today. But how does it apply? Does it mean that we should look for a sheep somewhere, slaughter it, and get its blood, and then you queue up there, I anoint your ear, the tip of your ear, your right thumb, and your big toe? Is that what he's saying? Is that what we should be doing? I don't think so. I don't think so. There's a meaning to it. And the first thing that you notice there is that they were meant to lay their hands on this ram that was being killed. They had to make contact with it. That's simple to identify because that ram was taking their place. Instead of them paying for their sins, the ram was taking their place to die for on their behalf. So when you identify with that ram that was going to be killed, that's the beginning point of your walking with the Lord. So this thing is about commitment to God. This ear, thumb, big toe thing is simple about commitment to God. But what kind of commitment is Moses talking about? What is this all about? The blood. The blood is so important. If you are a believer, you have to understand that nothing functions in the kingdom of God without the blood. The blood is central to the economy of God's kingdom. Because the blood represents atonement, meaning forgiveness, meaning at one with God. Atonement, at one with God. It means that any dealings with God starts with forgiveness, starts with confession, repentance. Whatever you're doing with God, you have to come to a place where you say, God, I'm a sinner, I need help. We don't start from a place of saying, God, I'm perfect, would you mind? No. That's not how we approach God. When we approach God, we approach him from a place of mess. We're saying, God, I need you. I'm a mess. I have missed it by a mile. Would you please help me? Have mercy upon my life. That is the starting point. There has to be the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's where we start from. If you're going to enter priesthood, before you jump for oil, you need the blood. You need the blood. The blood is simply saying, Lord Jesus, please help me. And that blood is very specific. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not the blood of goats. It's not the blood of sheep. It's not the blood of someone else. It has to be the blood of Jesus because it's innocent blood. Amen. We're together so far. Question, what is the meaning of all this to me who lives in the 21st century? What does all this mean? Well, let's go through this together. Number one, what does this mean? It means that a believer must hear God's word. I use the word must because you can't enter the priesthood without your ears being touched by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's got to be the blood of Jesus Christ somehow coming into contact with you. We're talking about salvation. The first thing we see God asking Moses to do to Aaron and his sons is he says to them, before you get into service with me, he has to deal with the matter of hearing, the ability to hear. The ability to hear. I don't know how far true this is, but someone was saying to me, the first sense that is functioning when a baby is born is the sense of hearing. I don't know how true that is. I've not researched that. But I know that the first thing to kick into action is the hearing ability. But also I heard someone say that the last thing that dies when you're old is hearing. Apparently when you're in coma, you can hear people talking. I've heard. Well, I've seen some movies that do that. But there are medical people here. You talk to me afterwards, not while sitting there, okay? When I finish, tell me, Pastor, that was... But I hear that the last sense to die is the sense of hearing, which is very interesting because when God says, when God is bringing them into ministry to serve, he says, the first thing I want to deal with is your ability to hear. That's why I say a believer must hear from God. The ear symbolizes hearing. In the spirit realm, it's the same. So things sometimes mean different things in the spirit realm. What is his in the physical can be different in the spirit realm. But an ear means exactly that. In the spirit realm, an ear has to do with hearing. In fact, it's got to do with listening. Because you can hear something, but you're really not listening. So God deals with this difficult thing called hearing. He says, this is what I want you to get right first. One of the most difficult things for moms and dads is to teach their children to know their voice, to know their voices. I don't know whether you're aware of that. That children have to know your voice. That's why when the wife is pregnant and you actually talk to the child, the baby. Okay, let's leave that for another day. Very silent on that one. We'll leave it. But you will notice that children have to know your voice because they usually intermingle with other kids. And when there are many, like my missional life community, we've got 10 children. It's fun, I'm telling you. And when they meet, it's like there's an explosion. 10 of them. So when you're trying to call your child among 10 other children, there's got to be something that they know, that's my dad calling me. But I've learned something, having raised kids now, to be on the little edge. I've learned something. You will notice that some words are easier for them to hear than others. Let me give you an example. In my household, there's one child, when you say, McDonald's, it doesn't matter what they were doing. They will hear you. If you just whisper that, no matter where they are in the house, they will run. Say, what did you say? You can shout, same context, but you shout, say, it's time for cleanup. Nobody will hear you. They choose not to hear you. You with me? So, we have to learn to hear. We have to learn to be attuned to the voice of God. Because sometimes we hear something from God like, no, I'm not doing that, Lord. I'm not doing that, Lord. Imagine God saying to you, why don't you bless that sister with this lovely blouse you have? And this lovely blouse you have is from Dubai. On your way passing through, you saw this last blouse and you bought it. And then God whispers to your ear. He's whispering, says, give it to you. You say, I didn't hear properly, Lord. But if God was to whisper to you and say, that brother coming up there, he's going to give you £500. Just wait where you are. Yes, Lord. See, we play pick and choose with God. So what does God do? God says, I will put blood on your ear because I want you to learn to hear my voice in good times and in bad times. It's called discerning the voice of God. God wants us to discern his voice. It's very, very important that we learn to discern his voice. It's an important thing for our faith. So our ears are stained with blood to remind us to listen and obey without thought of self, without pride, without listening to ourselves. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 when he's talking to the Thessalonian church. He says to them, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, 1-3, he says, and we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of man, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. You see, so the word of God, he spoke to them, it was at work in they that believe because they received it. There's hearing the word, but there's also receiving the word of God. So sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes, once a while, you've got to clean your ears. Is that right? There are all sorts of theories about what you use to clean them with. I'm not getting into that. But at some point, whatever you find, clean your ear, right? Because it distorts hearing. In fact, it can block what you're hearing. The same is true spiritually. There are things that block our hearing at some stage in our walk with God. We're not hearing God clearly. Is that correct? There are times when we are disturbed. There are many noises around us. So we're not here. We're not sure, is this God speaking to me? There could be things blocking you. It could be a situation at work. It could be a situation at home. It could be you are dangling with sin in your life and therefore you're no longer hearing clearly from God. Your ear is blocked. Do you know what? Isaiah 50 verse 5 can help us here. Isaiah says, "The Lord God has opened my ear." Now, you notice that he's using a singular, not a plural. People have got how many ears? Two. Isaiah says, you've opened what? My ear. In the spirit, you have one ear. So he's talking about another dimension. Saying, my spiritual ear, Lord, you have opened it. And I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. Because my ear was now opened. So, we need to hear the Lord speak. And he does this through his word. Maybe the voice of God has been dull. Maybe the voice of God has been distant from you for a while. Today we're going to pray with you. We want to ask that God would open your ear. God is faithful. He's in the business of opening ears. Never mind, you can be blind physically. That's not an issue, but don't be. You can even be deaf spiritually. Physically, but you are much better off with your spiritual ears being open. Your spiritual ear has to be open. You have to hear from God. Amen. Number two, a believer must do God's work. A believer must do God's work. So the second part where the blood is applied, if you remember the scripture we read, that's Leviticus 8, the second place where the blood was applied, it was on the right thumb. The blood was applied on the right thumb. On the right hand. The hand symbolizes doing in general. We know that the hand has got to do with our works. The hand has got to do with our efforts. It's got to do with our labors. That's what the hand stands for. The blood on the thumb has to do with the holiness in doing God's work. When you talk about hands, we're talking about God's work being done with holiness. So what God was saying to Aaron and his sons was that they were not merely to listen to his commands, but they were supposed to do something about what they were hearing. They have to put feet to their prayers. They've got to action what they're hearing from God. Now, what is the value? What is the importance of a thumb in a bodily sense? Do we need thumbs at all? Without the thumb, it's very difficult to handle any object. Try to open a door with a key without a thumb. You will struggle. Or how about writing without your thumb? Some of you are writing notes today. Imagine trying to write without a thumb. Or using a spoon without a thumb. It can be so difficult, isn't it? When you are hurt on your thumb, it's so restrictive. There are many things you wish you could do, but you can't, because it's a nightmare to live a life without a thumb. No person can do the right thing without a thumb. It's so difficult. You could almost give up and say, what's the point? Because a thumb is important. There's a reason why you have a thumb. And so God says, anoint the thumb. Now, he's not talking about just the physical. Yes, physically, blood is applied on it. But in the New Testament, there's a meaning to it. Our works matter. Whatever we grasp matters. Because we can do God's work without the blessing of God. We can do God's work in our own strength, in our own power. And that is a problem to God. Whatever we do with God has to be screened through the blood of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ in it? Am I doing this for myself, or am I doing it because I want to bring glory to the name of the Lord? Why am I doing this? Why do I even go to church? why am I doing this? Am I doing it for my children? Now I've heard people say, just for my children. No, do it for God. Do it for God. There are times when we do things out of self-righteousness, where I'm doing this because I'm skilled in it. You know, because I can sing, therefore I can do this for myself. But you know, God does not put value on what we do in our strength. God puts value on what has gone through the blood. Why the blood? Because the blood is a place of humbling. The blood is a place of saying, I'm exchanging my weakness for your strength. That's what he says. Remember Paul. Paul had a thorn in the flesh that was bothering him. He says, God, get rid of it from me. Get rid of it. And then God answered him later. He says, listen, that which is your weakness, what's the actual words? For I am made strong in your weakness. So that which you think is a burden to you, that which you think is restricting me, slowing me down, God says, that is my strength. Maybe you need to slow down. Maybe you're too fast. And so God has to rein you in and slow you down so that you can learn more through that speed at which you're traveling with. So God is at work in different ways. Or maybe you have been serving God faithfully, throwing yourself at God, but you have been serving God because you wanted something out of Him. Hello? You know, it's always easy to serve. You know, in the world, it's so easy. I usually say to people, it's easy to run an organization where you pay people. Because if they mess up, you withhold something. Is that true? Now, in church, it's difficult. I can't force you to come to church. Is that true? Come on, talk to me. On a rainy day like this, you got to be coming for God. With coffee on. But you decided that I am going to God's house. See, it's easier to be a CEO than to be a pastor. You just change your wage bill. Everybody will be at work on time. See, there's a motivation to it. So, but when it comes to God, you have to be self-motivated to say, I love this God. I'm not doing it for my neighbor. I'm not doing it for my pastor. I'm not doing it for my leaders. I'm doing it because I love Jesus Christ. That is the bottom line about church. When a church starts using force on you, there's a problem. That doesn't mean you're not accountable. No, accountability is a different language altogether. Okay? So, as believers, remember that there's no room for self. We continually depend on God. So through love, we serve one another. That's why we serve one another. We are not serving God because we get something out of it. We are serving God. You remember Job, even though you slay me, I will still trust you. That is God. That is Job. Job saying, I'm not worshiping God because he has blessed me with everything I have. In fact, God allowed the devil to wipe off everything Job had. And what does Job say? I will still trust you. You are my God. This stuff can go, but my soul, I'll not sell it to the devil. Now, why do we serve God? If we're serving God because of the car I drive, my goodness, I'm in trouble. Because accidents don't take long to happen sometimes. And then what do I do? Do I go and threaten God and say, God, you've taken my car. I'm not coming anymore. No. No. No, God is bigger than that. We serve God for who he is. So what does he do? He anoints, he puts blood on the thumb to say, your works must be through the blood of Jesus Christ. Whatever you're doing for God, is it not Paul who says, work as unto the Lord? So wherever you are, wherever in the marketplace where you are serving God. Okay? You are serving God. So do your work as though you are serving God. And see what God does. Monday will change. You will feel differently on a Monday when you change the attitude of the mindset of who you are working for. You are working for God. You're not working for self. Amen. I'm looking at Phil. Is the baby here today? Ah, that's why you're busy. Where? Welcome, Zoe. Welcome, Zoe. I'm wondering, why he doesn't normally stand up during church service, does he? There must be a problem. Oh, new father. Number three, a believer must walk God's way. We'll finish with this one. A believer must walk God's way. I had to look for the right picture. You know, feet are not that usually. I'll leave it at that. So the foot symbolizes walking. But most specifically, the foot symbolizes living. It's to do with, when the scripture is talking about walking, you will notice that it's talking about how a person lived. It talks about the moral quality of life of that person. The Bible says, Enoch and Noah walked with God. You remember that part? It says, they walked with God, meaning that they lived a life with a constant sense of his presence. That's how they lived their life, with a constant sense of his presence. In Genesis 17, talking about Abraham, the Bible says, God says to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. Walk, in other words, live in such a way that your life is pleasing to God. As you walk the earth, walk in the fear of God. So the foot symbolizes walking in ways that please God, walking in holiness. And so the big toe had to be anointed, or rather had to be, the blood had to be applied to the big toe of all the other toes, the big one. It's talking about commitment. Commitment to stay true in your walk with God. Commitment to stay on the path, the righteous path that God has ordained for you. The Bible is not silent on big toes. There's a little story in Judges chapter 1, verse 6. There's a king called Adoni-Bezek. Adoni-Bezek was the king of Canaan. He was a very powerful king. At some point, he captured 70 kings. And then what he did is he cut off their big toes and their arms. And then he put them around the table to eat. He was having fun as they were trying to eat without big thumbs and big toes. Can you imagine this king? He got a kick out of it. So, they were picking, the Bible says, I think it's the next verse, it says they were picking scraps under his table. 70 of them. Every dinner time, that's what he watched. So they were scraping to try grab stuff from under his table. These were former kings. You can imagine how painful. They wish they were dead. And so, lo and behold, he too was captured by Israel. And what did they do? They chopped off his thumbs and chopped off his big toe. And they said, now you have fun too. Now, he then noticed this. He actually, I don't know whether you've got to the verse. I don't know which verse. He actually says, I did this too, and I understand why you're doing it to me. He had to accept his situation, and he died there. Now, it's already in the Bible, but it's humiliating. It's crippling. It's limiting. That's how they treated prisoners at that time. If they really wanted to be nasty, that's what they did to them. So the big toe symbolizes our walk in this life. For him, his big toe was cut because of his history, his previous life, how he treated people. God won't do that to you, to us. I know that. Because there's the blood. So the blood of Jesus Christ restores us. The blood of Jesus Christ brings repentance, helps us to get back to God, to get the righteousness of God imputed into our lives. So each step that you take in this life is cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ if you embrace it. Each step, every minute of your life is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what happens when you begin to walk with God. The devil starts whispering to you and saying to you, your life is not good enough. That which you are doing, I don't think it goes even honors that. You will hear voices saying, you are now doing it, you are overdoing it. Are you a fanatic now? Why are you always reading your Bible? Why do you go to church? There will be lots of voices, Satan trying to disturb your walk with God by speaking you down. But you know what? Point to your toe and say, look at what the Lord has done for me. Look at my bloody toe. Jesus Christ, yes, I might be worthless, but the blood that has been applied is worth everything in my life. Amen. That's what matters. So it's not that, you know, what we do it out of skill. No, we do it because Jesus Christ has paid the price. And for believers, this is humbling. For believers, it's something else. This is nothing to do with showing how gifted you are. This has got to do with who are you doing it for. That's why church is a place where everybody can do whatever it is that God has called them to do without necessarily being qualified for it. It's the grace of God. The grace of God qualifies us to do what we do. That's what matters. Because you hear people saying, oh no, I can't speak, Pastor. Oh, sorry, excuse me for my voice. Who's listening to your voice? I mean, can you imagine? I've heard people say, you sing like an angel. I don't know where the head angel is singing. But, I think heaven wants to hear from the redeemed of the Lord. Amen? From the redeemed of the Lord, praising God, giving. Angels only join if they hear you sing. Amen? So, you can point your toe and say, listen, look at what God has done. So we praise God for that. Another thing about our big toes is that, for me, it talks about direction in life. It talks about where you're headed for, where you're headed to. There's something about direction. There's something about destiny that comes with walking. And maybe you're here today, you are walking in the opposite direction of where God is taking you to. I'm just trying to remind you this morning, say, hey, listen to what God is saying to you. You still have time to change course. I know this because for many years I was running away from God. In fact, I was running away from His call upon my life. He was saying, come do this. I was getting, it's like going to Tarshish when God has called you to go to Nineveh. And there are many today that are on their way to Tarshish and they are paying their way to Tarshish. Your destiny is in Nineveh. But you see, Nineveh is not a lovely place to go to because it's not as up-notch as Tarshish. Sometimes we think, God, how, what do you want me to do in Nineveh? Honestly? And so a reluctant prophet goes to Nineveh. He doesn't even want to preach. So he preaches once a day, goes to sit away from them and say, God, send fire and burn them. So his message was simple. 40 days you are dying here. What kind of a preacher is that? Anyway, he preaches like that. And guess what God does? Like I said, it's not about you. It's about God's call upon your life. So what God does is he uses this reluctant prophet to save a whole city. The whole city was saved by a reluctant prophet. Or rather, by God using a reluctant prophet. That tells you that unless God is in it, you are laboring in vain. You are laboring in vain. So God wants to do something in your life. Listen to Isaiah 52 verse 7. The Bible says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings and that brings peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publish salvation. That's Isaiah. He's saying, there's something about feet that bring good news. And the reason we bring good news is because you have been with Jesus Christ. God anoints our feet because he wants us to follow him in his paths. Amen. So I'm done. I want to pray. We're done today. But I want to pray. I want to pray. I want to lead us in prayer before I sit down. There are three things I spoke about today. In short, if you want to remember what I was saying, God is listening for men and women. He's looking for men and women who listen to his word, who do what he wills, and will go where he sends them. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for these men and women that will do exactly that, that will hear the word of God, walk in the truth of the word by depending on the Holy Spirit. Now, what happens is that when the blood was applied, in verse 30, the oil then followed. Oil can only come after the blood has been applied. You can't have the activity of the Holy Spirit without the blood being there. The blood prepares for the activity of the Holy Spirit to start happening in your life. And it is the Holy Spirit who produces results through your efforts. So little efforts can produce mighty results when the Holy Spirit gets involved. That's why the Bible says, one man can chase what? 1,000. But two can chase how many? 10,000. How did we jump from 1,000 to 10,000? Is the Holy Spirit. That is the oil that comes. When the oil is applied, the results are exponential. You can't believe what God can do through a little boy or a little girl. God raises this little girl to become the queen of the most powerful kingdom that it was ever known, Esther. That's what God does. The results are exponential. You think you have arrived yet? Wait until God gets involved. Amen. When God gets involved in your situation, you won't believe what God is doing in your life. Because this God is able to open wombs. Hallelujah. This God is able to heal. This God is able to change the heart of kings concerning you. Amen. The results will be different. Amen. God can change. God is in the business of surprising man. He's at work. When angels start fighting for you, men won't believe what's happening. Amen. I read the other day, scripture. I was surprised. One angel, they say that, I think it says Ezekiel, where the armies were around him. A whole army, millions were coming for him. God released one angel who killed 85,000 soldiers. One. Overnight. One angel. My friends, when the Holy Spirit gets involved, you won't believe what God wants to do in your life. He will shock you. Because God is at work. So as you look into your life today, the Bible says, what is man that you are mindful of? In other words, that's Psalm 8, by the way, where David writes about how God created all things. When I look at what you have created, how majestic is your name? And then he says, but in the midst of all this, God, you're supposed to be busy making sure that the sun rises tomorrow, making sure that the moon is in its place, making sure that there is rain in England, that there's sunshine in Africa, and whatever time. But what is man that your mind is full of? Can you imagine that God is filled with you right now? As you sit here, as you think about whatever you're thinking about, God's mind is full of you. What is man that you're mindful of? Is it not Moses who says, you are the apple of my eye? Have you noticed that when anybody tries to touch your eye, what happens? You don't need to pray about it. There's a defense system that is built to prevent anything touching your eye. And God says, you are the apple of my eye. Anybody trying to touch you, I will respond. Touch my children, then you see who I am. That's the God we serve. So what does he do? He says, I want you to understand that you've got to hear my voice. You've got to hear my voice. There are many voices in the world we live in. There are many voices. You know, have you ever had a situation where you thought you had discussed and finished this deal with the person? He comes and says, I've changed my mind. You say, so where did you spend the day today? They tell you, I was with so-and-so. Say, that's why we have changed your mind. Because there are many voices, there are many voices, there are many voices. God says, hearken to my voice. Someone is about to make a decision because someone told you something. But listen, go pray and hear what God says. God is always speaking. God is always speaking. It's particularly concerning your life, God is speaking. You need to hear God. Now, let me pray. If I continue going on, I won't finish. Let me pray. You can stand if you want. I'm just going to pray with you. There are three situations here. You don't need to stand if it's not applying to you. If you're saying, God, open my ears. I want my ears open today. They're blocked. Help me. I want to pray with you. If you're one of those that says, Lord, Would you bless what I touch? I want my work to matter. I want my work to produce results that bring glory to your name. Or maybe you're here today saying, Lord, I need direction. I need you to order my footsteps. I need direction. I want to pray with you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we apply the blood of Jesus on our minds, on our hearing system. Clean up our spiritual perception today. Lord, that you may open ears today and let them be able to hear your voice in the name of Jesus. Clear confusion in our minds. Your spirit of confusion disappear today in the name of Jesus. The voice of enemies, we silence you today in the name of Jesus, that we may hear the voice of the shepherd and follow him in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that our ears may be opened. Like Isaiah said, God, open my ears that we may not be rebellious. In the mighty name of Jesus, today we apply the blood of Jesus on the labors of our hands, on the labors of our ministry, on our efforts, that, Lord, we will not have fruitless labor from this day forth. That, Lord God, everything that has been aborted in terms of our labors and efforts will be restored. We lay hands on that which we're doing, that, Lord, you may anoint and produce results. That whatever we touch will be fruitful. For we are the seed of Abraham. And you say in your word that blessed is that man that is planted by the rivers of living waters. And we are that man. We are that woman today. Whatsoever we lay our hands shall prosper and bring forth fruit in its season. In the name of Jesus. Father, I declare that no more aborted efforts in this church. No more aborted fruits in this church. That we will reap the harvest of our labor. In the name of Jesus. Even past seeds that were sown, that have not yielded harvest, we call forth into this season. In the name of Jesus. I call forth season to come to bear fruit. In the name of Jesus. Father, we apply the blood of Jesus Christ on our toes. On our walk, on our moves, on our direction. Father, bring direction, not wasted efforts. From now on, Lord, our steps are ordered by the Lord. Our steps are ordered into good places. Wherever the soles of our feet shall tread, it shall become our possession in the name of Jesus. As far as the eye can see, it shall become our possession in the Spirit in the name of Jesus. We step into it. And get established in the name of our Lord Jesus. And from this moment forward, the force of the new covenant, the covenant that we were ushered into by the blood of Jesus Christ, comes alive into us. That, Lord, you may deliver us from every bondage, every chain, every yoke, every limitation. We break it in the name of Jesus. Father, we have a godly heritage. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow all the days of our lives. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For it is written concerning us. This is what will happen to us, my Lord, from this forward onwards, that every program the enemy has set in motion concerning our lives, we overrule it in Jesus' name. Every program that has been set to make us fall, to disgrace us, by the authority vested in us, we overrule it today in the name of Jesus. It's our time to recover every time that has been lost. In the name of Jesus, we lift up our hands and give you praise and give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, whatever belongs to us will no longer shift to another person. We are in the kingdom. We are here in Mount Zion. Upon Mount Zion, there is deliverance in the name of Jesus. So I command a resurrection to every blocked pathway to our destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus, I command you, open in the name of Jesus. By the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, I command you, Open you blocked paths. Open you blocked ears. Open in the name of Jesus. Let it be so. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Why don't you praise God for a minute and sit down? Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.